In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Spirit. Amen. So we're going to look at the second Sunday of Lent, but before we start that, we're going to continue in Dei Verbum, number 52, which is in the section called the Liturgy, Privileged Setting for the Word of God. And we're going to have to consider that and take this word privileged very seriously. The native home for Scripture is the liturgy. Recently, Father Dennis Farkas-Falvey did a book on inspiration. And in there, he pointed out that all the short synoptic stories are composed for use at the liturgy. In other words, the liturgy is the natural home for Scripture. It's its most powerful home. What we do when we take the Bible on our own, as we should, as Paul did, everybody else did, we continue the liturgical reading. It doesn't have to be the same text, but in other words, because we're members of the body, the text will speak to us. Now, the more we're linked with the liturgy of the body, the more the scriptures speak. So what we're going to be doing now is looking at the part in Verbum Domini, which talks about the Word of God in the sacred liturgy. And I'm going to start commenting on that. It's number 52. In considering the church as the home of the Word, attention must first be given to the sacred liturgy. For the liturgy is the privileged setting in which God speaks to us in the midst of our lives. He speaks to us, to his people, who hear and respond. And so, you see, we have this notion. The liturgy is a privileged setting in which God speaks to us. Or, as we're going to hear in a little while, Dei Verbum says, when the scriptures are being read at the liturgy, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. Particularly the gospel and the preaching. That's why to read the gospel and to preach at the Eucharistic liturgy can only be done by a bishop, a priest, or a deacon. Why? Because only those three are given at ordination a character, a particular disposition within their spirit by which they can be more easily used by Christ. Classic example. Before I was ordained, I could say to bread all the time, this is my body, and nothing would happen. Now at Mass, when I say that, it is Christ saying it in me. And that bread becomes his body. That wine becomes his blood. Using me, that's why it's called an ontological and psychological bond, is established by this character between myself and Jesus. Which is, no matter where I go, I bring that bond. No matter what I do, I bring that bond. And that is the dignity and responsibility of being in orders, bishop, priest, and deacon. And for our consideration, since there's more priests than there are anything else, and that's sort of the kingpin of the structure, it's very important to understand that. And so, when we say here, you see, that it's the privileged home, the Pope goes on, every liturgical action is by its very nature steeped in sacred scripture. Now, if you're following if you've been following over these months, the changes in the liturgy, in the translation, all the explanations are showing you where this comes from in the scriptures. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. That's a biblical understanding of the interaction, you see? Okay. Now, the Pope is going to quote Sacrosanctum Concilium, which is the document on the liturgy. Sacred Scripture is of the greatest importance in the celebration of the liturgy. From it are taken the readings, which are explained in the homily, and the psalms that are sung. From Scripture, the petitions, prayers, and liturgical hymns receive their inspiration and substance. It's remarkable to read a study which shows us the dependence upon Scripture, even of our liturgical prayers. From Scripture, the liturgical actions and signs draw their meaning that sit in the document itself on the liturgy. Even more, it must be said, and this is the text I've just quoted, I'll quote it again, that Christ himself, quote, is present in his word, since it is he who speaks when Scripture is spread in the church. And that's from the document on the liturgy, number 7. All right. Indeed, the liturgical celebration becomes the continuing, complete, and effective presentation of God's word. The word of God, constantly proclaimed in the liturgy, is always a living and effective word through the power of the Holy Spirit. It expresses the Father's love that never fails in its effectiveness toward us. He's going to quote a lot from a document which is at the front of the lectionary, because it's beautiful. The Pope's going to quote that. It expresses the Father's love that never fails in its effectiveness toward us. He loves us. But I can love somebody and be kind of ineffective in helping them. That can't happen with God because of who he is. And so this word is a word of love. The church has always realized that in the liturgical action, the word of God is accompanied by the interior working of the Holy Spirit, who makes it effective in the hearts of the faithful. You might remark that before I start any of these sessions, I pray to the Heavenly King, to the Paraclete. Why? I say, you are everywhere present and you fill all things. You are the master of life. And I go on, why? Cleanse us from all stain and save our souls, O good one. That's a prayer from the Byzantine liturgy that's used at the beginning of just about everything. But the first thing the priest does when he prepares himself for Mass in the Byzantine Rite, and there are a whole series of prayers, the first one he says is that one. Standing there in front of the holy doors, Heavenly King, consoling, Basilevoranie, Paraclete, Topenevatis, Aritias, and so forth. You see? That's the prayer. So that's what he's saying here. It's the Holy Spirit. This is the privileged place for him to bring the Scriptures alive. Why? Because as the same Vatican II says in the document on Revelation, number 21, the Church has always shown the same reverence and love or affection for the Word of God as it does for the Eucharist. The same. The Word of God is meant to prepare us to receive the Eucharist. One of the reasons why the Eucharist is not celebrated as well as it can be is that the preaching can be weak. I've quoted already the famous statement of Bishop Ratzinger. He wouldn't say it now, I don't think. I mean, because he's Pope, he wouldn't say it. The sign that the Church is supported by the action of God is that it sustains millions of bad sermons every year and doesn't collapse. And now, the reading and the homily, you see, is part of the feeding. It is the manna already that in the bread and wine is consecrated and given to us. Okay, so the text goes on. Thanks to the Paraclete, now there's going to be another quote. The Word of God becomes the foundation of the liturgical celebration and the rule and support of all our life. The working of the same Holy Spirit brings home to each person individually everything that in the proclamation of the Word of God is spoken for the good of the whole gathering. In strengthening the unity of all, the Holy Spirit at the same time fosters a diversity of gifts and furthers their multiform operation. And that is also from that introduction to the lectionary. But you see, the Holy Spirit will work if we're open. if we're praying. The Holy Spirit works all the way through that first part of the Mass to open our hearts, to change our hearts, to convict us of sin so that we can repent and be ready for the second part, which starts, we offer the gifts to God, and then we invite everybody to get ready, and we sing the theme of the day. It was called the Prefatio, the preface, and then we start the prayer. So, to understand the Word of God, then, we need to appreciate and experience the essential meaning and value of the liturgical action. And then he puts this next in italics. A faith-filled understanding of sacred scripture must always refer back to the liturgy, in which the Word of God is celebrated as a timely and living word. And now we'll have another quote from that same document. In the liturgy, the Church faithfully adheres to the way Christ himself read and explained the sacred scriptures, beginning with his coming forth in the synagogue and urging all to search the scriptures. He began his public life in both Mark and Luke. The public life begins with our Lord in the synagogue. In Luke, our Lord sits down and reads that text from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to preach to the poor, and so forth. Okay? He puts it down and says, today, that's fulfilled in your hearing. Today, that's starting right now. In Mark, he preaches in the synagogue, and that begins the whole theme in Mark. A demon screams out. Demons can't stand the truth. And when the Word of God is pronouncing it himself, he screams out. But that happens quite a bit in liturgies. People may just get uncomfortable and not scream out, but they're being led to be aware that there's something wrong. A preacher once in a while can be preaching up there, and he can see people starting to chat with one another. Why? They can't stand the pressure. They got to chat and laugh, and da-da-da-da-da. They can't listen to the word because they can't stand the pressure. It's going to convict them of sin, and they're not ready for that. Pray that they are ready. It's the only way to be free. Okay. So here one sees the sage pedagogy of the Church, which proclaims and listens to sacred scripture following the rhythm of the liturgical year. We'll discuss that a bit next time. The expansion of God's word in time takes place above all in the Eucharistic celebration and in the Liturgy of the Hours. That Liturgy of the Hours, that's those prayers that the priest says and anybody else can say them or wants them. It's the breviary. And so at the center of everything, the Paschal Mystery shines forth, and around it radiate all the mysteries of Christ and the whole history of salvation, which becomes sacramentally present. St. Leo has this text in which he says, all those things that were said and done in the past are present here now at the liturgy. And so that's the awesomeness. The liturgy brings to life the word. And it is in that context that the very words of Christ continue to have their effect. This is my body. This is my blood. You are forgiven. And so forth. So we'll continue with that now. We'll be on that, I hope, for a few more weeks, because it's key to our understanding of the liturgy.